either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, in the last session we touched on the beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Hadi. Al-Hadi means that Allah is the one who gives hidayat and guidance, not just to insan, human beings, but to everything of His creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives everything that is His creation, and everything is His creation. Allah gives it hidayat. After Al-Hadi comes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Badi'u. My intention was actually to touch on this beautiful name of Allah, Al-Badi'u, and explain the meaning of Al-Badi'u and what the scholars have mentioned. But then today I changed my mind when doing Jumu'ah and touched a certain sort of subject that we touched on Jumu'ah, and that topic was understanding the virtue of knowledge and the people of knowledge. And just as an extension to that, I felt that perhaps it's important that we can get some more clarity on this subject, that how much sacrifice our forefathers have done so that today we can benefit of the Islam that we have. And we need to understand our Salafus Salihin, our forefathers, the generations, Alhamdulillah, our grandparents, what they have done to preserve Iman and Islam. And so Alhamdulillah, generally everybody, every one of us here, be it from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, we all have some connection with India. And India is known as Hind, and it's a huge area, a vast land. We have now Bangladesh and Pakistan, but back in the days it was just one place, one name, and that was Hind. And so if we go back as far as the British Empire ruling in India and then start off, we can't go very far back. So if we go very far back, we are touching now the time of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, when the companions had landed in that part of the area in Hind. But inshallah, we have touched on that, and we will also cover that maybe in the future if Allah wills. And so by the 18th century, for an example, if you have a look, then the British Empire had taken control of much of India, except for the region of Punjab. In Punjab, you had a man whose name was Ranjit Singh. Ranjit Singh was the leader in that part of the region. But the rest of the area was all under the occupation of the British Empire. So Punjab would mean at that time New Delhi, from Amritsar, New Delhi, even Lahore, Mansera, and even going as far as Multan. So all that zone came under the wing of this man whose name is Ranjit Singh. And Ranjit Singh and his followers, again, were very hostile to the Muslims. So on one side you had the province of Punjab, and then on the other side you also had the British Empire. And so for the Muslims it was difficult to live in their hometown, to live in the place where they were born, and for generations they have been living there. And so things became very, very difficult. And so inshallah, I want to complete this in 35 minutes or 40 minutes. So we won't go into too much details, but inshallah, enough for us to understand. So it was very, very difficult for the Muslims at that time in India, for our forefathers. One side you had Ranjit Singh, and then on one side you had the British Empire. And Muslims were the people, of course, who would go and perform salah 5 times a day, and they would hear the adhan. And this is something which was always in the eyes of the people. And so when the British Empire was there, and also during when Ranjit Singh was around, the masajid and the madaris especially were completely demolished. And thousands and thousands of our ulama were killed and massacred. Thousands. If you actually read the tariq, it's a very bloody history of Hindustan, and especially the scholars. Majority of the scholars were killed at that time. And so things were very, very difficult. And so what would happen? You had missionaries that were coming from England to India, and they had shut down all centers of education, madrasas. And if you wanted education, it was all through the Christian syllabus. So you had Bible schools and you had missionary colleges. That's why even now, if you go to Bombay, you have church gates, the elite zone that is there right now. And so it was very, very difficult even to educate yourself or even to give education to your child. Everything had to go through this Christian concept. And then what would happen? You also had trained missionaries that were coming to Hind, and they would openly challenge the Muslims, and they would say, okay, we will give you a debate. We want a debate with you. That is why if you have a look and if you read our books, you will find that our Buzrugan-e-Deen and our Aslaf have had a lot of debates. And the reason these debates were there was because of these missionaries that were coming. And alhamdulillah, as Muslims, you know, we are people who take on a challenge. Alhamdulillah. And then in 1824, the Archbishop of Canterbury also came to India. And when he came to India and he looked at the setup of India, and this is all on record, what people have written, he actually said that because the British are ruling the land and the economy is also in the hands of the British, and therefore the state religion should be Christianity. The religion should be Christianity. And there was this wave of effort that everyone should be Christianized and everybody should be converted to Christianity. This was their effort. So it was extremely difficult. All the madaris were shut. And now if you go back to history, generally if there were madrasas, the system of madrasa was that it was financed by the government. What was it? Financed by the government. So even if you look at the first university in Islam, in the beginning it was just Islamiyat that was taught. So for an example, in Egypt, Azhar University. So Azhar University is the first university. We can go back to the University of Nizamiya, in which Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi later on became the principal. But if you look at this university in Azhar now, later on, other subjects and sciences have also been introduced in this university. But the finance is completely backed up also by the government. And so things were very different. They came and they shut down everything. Madrasas, masjids, ulama were restricted. The movement was restricted. And then what had happened in 1857, all the indigenous population, they got together, and that included the Sikh community, the Hindu community, the Muslims, and they decided that, look, we need to make some effort, and this will be a struggle for independence. This will be a struggle for independence. The British named this as a rebellion, The British named this a rebellion. And the indigenous people actually said that, no, this is a struggle. This is a struggle for independence. So everybody got together, and in their own capacity they said that we will fight and we will free our towns from their control. And so the Muslims at that time came under the leadership of a great wali of Allah and a great mujahid, whose name is Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki. What is his name? Hazrat Maulana Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki. And so Maulana Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki became the leader of the Muslimin at that time. And joining him were his two very famous disciples and students, Maulana Qasim Nanotwi, the great famous Mujahid, and Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi. Maulana Qasim Nanotwi and Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi. And so they both had joined also Maulana Haji Imdadullah in this struggle. And struggle in the Arabic language means jihad. What does jihad mean? Jihad means struggle. So this was a struggle for independence. They wanted to be free from the British at that time. And so the Muslims, alhamdulillah, they started from the area of UP. And from Thana Bhavan, they started, alhamdulillah, Maulana Qasim Nanotwi, Maulana Rashid Gangohi, Maulana Haji Imdadullah. Alhamdulillah, they went, and so many towns were conquered and were taken away from the British. And alhamdulillah, they were moving fast and very swiftly until they got to the zone of Sham Ali. And there at Sham Ali, Maulana Qasim Nanotwi and Maulana Rashid Gangohi were defeated. What were they? They were defeated against the army that was there. And because they were defeated, what had happened, the best strategy for the Muslims at that time was that they should disperse. They should disperse. And so Maulana Qasim went in one direction, Maulana Haji Imdadullah went in one direction, and Maulana Rashid Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali also went into another direction. And there was a warrant that was sent out in India that these are the three men that we want, and an immediate imprisonment. And so they even said that a reward will be given if anybody gives us information of Maulana Qasim Nanotwi and Maulana Gangohi. Maulana Qasim Nanotwi and Maulana Gangohi and Maulana Haji Imdadullah. That's why if you actually have a look at the scholars who have actually fought and have gone into this struggle, you will find that there has been only one particular group. There is only one particular group, and who did not do zulm on anyone, but zulm was done on them, and to free themselves from the shackle of these people who came. And so, saying all that, there's one thing that we need to understand also. Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani's father, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, he is the one who said, I am a Nabi Aliyadhu Billah. But his father at that time sided with the British Empire. And so in order to crush this rebellion that was taking place and pockets of rebellion that was popping up from every region, every direction of India. And so in support of the British Empire, he gave the British Empire at that time 50 horses and 50 soldiers. That's why you see even now how much support the Ahmadiyya or the Qadiani movement has. So this actually goes back to history. And so what had happened is that everybody was looking for Maulana Qasim Nanotwi and these three shuyukh that were there. Maulana Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki decided that he is going to migrate and he will go to the city of Makkah. So he managed to escape and he left India and he went to Makkah Mukarrama. That is why he's known as Muhajir-e-Makki. Muhajir-e-Makki. The two students wanted permission also to join him, but Hazrat said no. Hazrat said no, and these were Allah-wala people, great Buzrugan-e-Deen. And the Sheikh said that, alhamdulillah, you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the two of you will open up hidayat not just for the people of Hind, but for all four corners of the world. So he says, both of you, you can't come, you stay. And then eventually what happened is Maulana Rashid Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi was caught and he was put in prison. And it was said that they were going to execute him and they would kill him. Maulana Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah Alayhi, they could not find him. But he was an amazing mujahid. Amazing mujahid. It is said that he went underground hiding for only 3 days. How many days? For 3 days. After 3 days he walked out, he came out. He says, whatever happens, happens. So the student said to him, Hazrat, why for 3 days? He said, because that is the sunnah. Ajeeb. What did he say? That is the sunnah. I cannot go against the sunnah. So Hazrat, what is the sunnah? He said, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hid in Gare Thawr for 3 days. How many?
3 days.
For 3 days. After that, Allah's Nabi walked out. Because I can't do that. I cannot go against the sunnah. And there is this famous story about Maulana Qasim Nanotwi rahmatullah alayhi. Now people didn't, those who saw him had seen him, but many people did not see him. And so when the soldiers actually came close to where Maulana Qasim Nanotwi was and his whereabouts, so Maulana Qasim Nanotwi actually saw someone that he is asking people where Qasim Nanotwi is, and then they saw him. And so they came to Maulana Qasim Nanotwi. Maulana Qasim took 3 steps back. He took 3 steps back. And they came to him. Now in those days the Angrez also knew how to speak Hindi and Urdu or whatever. So they said that, have you seen, do you know where Qasim Nanotwi is? And they are talking to who? Maulana Qasim Nanotwi. And he was such a muttaqi man, he did not want to lie. So he just turned the conversation. He goes, Qasim Nanotwi was just standing there a few minutes ago. So he had taken 3-4 steps back. So Qasim Nanotwi was standing just there a few minutes ago. He was just there. By the way, you are there. Qasim Nanotwi was there. And so the guards thought that, oh, he must be somewhere here. And 3-4 went in all direction. We've caught him now. Qasim Nanotwi went, disappeared. Qasim Nanotwi disappeared. Allahu Akbar. And so he went. And then, subhanallah, in 1860, Maulana Qasim Nanotwi rahmatullah alayhi decided that he will go and perform Hajj and meet also Maulana Haji Imdadullah. These were people who had so much fikr, my respected brothers, our aslaf, our buzrugani deen. Inshallah, you know, when we look at their history and read about them, we should appreciate our forefathers and the qurbani of these great, great scholars. So when he went to do Hajj and he met in 1860 Maulana Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki, that was there also. At that time news came to him in Makkah that now the British Empire has given amnesty to those who participated in the uprising against them. So amnesty is given to them. So they will not be charged. They will not be charged. So any charge then, it was acquitted and they were free. So Maulana Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah Alayhi then returned back to India, and this gave him an opportunity of free movement. This gave him an opportunity of free movement and going from one area to another area. Now Maulana Haji Imdadullah, his in-laws and his connection was from Deoband. Where was it? From Deoband. But he actually went to Meerut. He went to Meerut. Now, just a bit of history of Deoband. Deoband, the name that is given as Deoband, why is it Deoband? Some of the scholars have mentioned that this is the location where Sulaiman alayhi salam had imprisoned some of the jinnats, some of the jinns. And that is why Deo in his language was the jinns. What is it? In his language was the jinns. So some have said that Sulaiman alayhi salam had imprisoned in that location a lot of the jinns, were imprisoned in that area. Number 2, of course, Dev means idols, Devi means idols, and Ban means to worship. And so in that area, a lot of idol worshipping was taking place. A lot of idol worshipping was taking place. You will find some of the people who have nothing better to do in this dunya, and they like to make a mockery of the scholars of ulama-i Deoband, and they say, look at the name Deoband, idol worshipping. Even the name is idol worshipping. Arey bhai, forget this name, idol worshipping Deoband. Have a look. In Kaaba, there were more than 300 idols. What were they? In our own Kaaba, Makkah Sharif, when Huzur alayhi salam came, what were they? What was inside the Kaaba? Idols. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the idols. But there is nothing wrong. That is why Allah selected that land. That land. And yukhrijuhum mina dhulumati ila nur. From darkness to light was shown to the people. Darkness to light was shown to the people. So when he came, there was no madaris, there was no madrasa, there was a lot of influence of the Christian community, the children were not benefiting, there was no ulama, a lot of them had been killed and were in prison. What to do? At that time, in Deoband, there was a small locality, and that is where a small masjid was. It was known as the Chattawali Masjid. The Chattawali Masjid. It was like a hut in Deoband. Chattawali Masjid. And in this very small hut, Maulana Qasim Nanotvi and the ulama at that time would sit inside and have meetings that what are we going to do in order to save the iman of the people of India? What are we going to do to save the iman of the people of Hind? You have foreign occupiers that have come, and then you have others that are there. How can we preserve iman? And it was decided that the way to go forward and the way to protect iman and Islam is to first establish a madrasa. Is to first establish a madrasa. And this was in 1866. This mashwara was done. Now, remember I said that everything was financed by the government at that time. Even if you look at Turkish history, Ottoman Empire, there was no such thing as a masjid or a madrasa that was financed by the local people. But Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allah give him jazai khair, the brains behind everything, he said, from now on, we will make sure that we will open up madrasa and masjid, a network of madrasa and masjid that will not be financed by any one individual. It will be financed by the local community. It will be the responsibility of the local people to run that madrasa and to run the masjid. This is how it was done. And then these were the ulama that were there. And so at that time, in 1866, where the Chattawala Masjid was, after Fajr Namaz, Maulana Haji Sheikh Sayyid Muhammad Abid Saab, Muhammad Abid Saab, we have Abid also here, mashallah. And so, a Sheikh Sayyid Muhammad Abid, he had this rumal, and he took his rumal, and he put the rumal in front, and people were there in the masjid, and he took out from his pocket 3 rupees. How many did he took out? 3 rupees. He put 3 rupees there. And then he took his rumal and he went to Maulana Zulfiqar Ali. Maulana Zulfiqar Ali at that time. So Maulana Zulfiqar Saab then took out 6 rupees and he put in the rumal. And then he went to Maulana Fazlur Rahman Saab. Maulana Fazlur Rahman Saab puts it. Then he went to Maulana Mehtab Saab. And Maulana Mehtab Saab also put. And then first he went to all of the scholars and the ulama that were there. And Sayyid Saab, Maulana Sayyid Abid, Muhammad Abid Saab, he worked so hard that mashallah, at the end of the day, he got in his rumal 300 rupees. How many rupees? Now 300 rupees was a lot of money at that time. At that time, your monthly wage was 15 rupees. How much was it? 15 rupees. So now how much did he get? 300 rupees. Now the backbone at that time was Maulana Qasim Nanotvi. People feared him. He was a great leader, very inspirational, very powerful scholar, great mujahid, a great alim. Allah gave him, subhanallah, such intelligence. And then they wrote to him in Mirat. And they said, Hazrat, now alhamdulillah, we've got the money. And we want your blessings. And we need you now to come to Deoband. And we start this madrasa. So Mawlana Qasim Nanotwi rahmatullah alayh, at that time, due to the political conditions, how it was, and he didn't want to be in the limelight, and it was better for him not to be in the limelight, but to work from the back. And he was like the father of all the ulama at that time, and his sheikh was Mawlana Haji Imdadullah. So he said, worry not, alhamdulillah, this is the best thing. And so with him in Mirat, there was another great scholar whose name was Mullah Mahmood. What was his name? Mullah Mahmood. Mullah Mahmood was a great scholar. So Maulana Qasim Nanotwi said to Mullah Mahmood, that Mullah Mahmood, if you are given a post in Deoband to go and teach, would you be happy? Because this is where he was from. So Mullah Mahmood said, Hazrat, if you tell me, gladly I will go to Deoband. Gladly I will go to Deoband. So he was representing Maulana Qasim Nanotwi. Maulana Qasim himself didn't come. Maulana Qasim would come in and out from Deoband. And his in-laws were also there. Maulana had sent Mullah Mahmood there. Maulana sent Mullah Mahmood there. And when Mullah Mahmood got there, who are going to be the students that Mullah Mahmood will teach? So Maulana Zulfikar Ali presented his own son. His own son. And his name was also Mahmood. His name was also Mahmood. And subhanallah, that Chattawali Masjid in Deoband, where the forecourt is, under the pomegranate tree. Under the pomegranate tree. Imagine such humble beginnings. Subhanallah. Under a pomegranate tree, Ustaz is Mullah Mahmood and Shagird is Mahmood. Everybody is to remember these two. Mullah Mahmood and Shagird is Mahmood. And how old is Mahmood? 15 years of age. 15 years. It was the 15th of Muharram. 15th of Muharram. The year 1866. In Deoband. Under a tree only. No doors, no classes. The first madrasa opened up. That is known as Darul Uloom Deoband. That is known as. And that was under a tree. Subhanallah. That was under a tree. And this madrasa started, and Mullah Mahmood started by teaching one child. Within a very short period of time, from one it became 21. From one it became 21. And within the end of the year, 78 students were there. What is it? 78. Now this madrasa is the first madrasa that is not sponsored or financed by anyone, but by the locals. And then Maulana Qasim Nanotwi, after Ramadan, he said, the only way to protect our children and the Muslims of Hind is to spread madrasa in all four corners. This was the vision yet. And then he said, we've opened up a madrasa here. Close in UP is another city that is known as Saharanpur. What is known? Saharanpur. In Saharanpur, Mawlana Qasim Nanotwi decided to open up another madrasa, a Darul Uloom there. And for that, he said to his very good friend, whose name is Mawlana Muhammad Madhar. Mawlana Muhammad Madhar. And Mawlana Qasim Nanotwi and Mawlana Muhammad Madhar are both students of Mawlana Ahmad Ali Saharanpuri. Mawlana Ahmad Ali Saharanpuri. So he said, and he was also in, he is also from Nanotwa. So Mawlana Muhammad Madhar, Mawlana Qasim said to him, go to Saharanpur and let us open up another madrasa there. And they, Mawlana Madhar Saab, opened up the madrasa. That is why the madrasa in Saharanpur is known as Madahirul Uloom. What is it known as? Madahirul Uloom. It's named after Maulana Muhammad Mazhar Sahib. And so now within a short span of time, you had two great Darul Ulooms that were there. Maulana Muhammad Mazhar, Mazahirul Ulum, and you had Darul Ulum, Deoband, on this side. Subhanallah al-Azim. And it all started and it all opened up. Maulana Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah Alay, it is said about him that Hazrat had seen a dream, and he saw a dream that he is standing on top of the Kaaba where the roof is. He's standing on top of the Kaaba, the roof, and all of a sudden there is a stream flowing out from his body, from his fingers, from his stomach, from the kneecaps, from the feet. Water and stream is going and flowing, and it is flowing in every direction, every way it is going. Allahu Akbar. So this was an ajeeb dream. So Maulana Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah Alayh, he went to his ustaz, Maulana Mamluk Ali, Maulana Mamluk Sahab, and he said to Maulana Mamluk Sahab, that Hazrat, this is the dream that I have seen, what does it mean? Maulana Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah Alayh said, that Allah will take so much khidmat from you, that by you Allah will open the doors of knowledge in four corners of the world. In four corners of the world, Allahu Akbar. And then thereafter, in 1870, Maulana Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah Alayh once again went for Hajj. And he went there and he gave Maulana Haji Imdadullah an update of what was happening. That Darul Uloom Deoband, alhamdulillah, under a tree, there are students there. Mazahirul Ulum, that madrasa has also opened up, and said, Hazrat, make dua for our madrasa. So Maulana Haji Imdadullah started crying, and he said, you don't know, from the time I am in Makkah, in Haram Sharif, I have only been making dua that Allah help the Muslims of Hind, and Allah open up madrasas that are maqbool. Allah open up madrasas that are maqbool. And so this was the dua. So Maulana Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah Alayh, then when he came back, it was under the tree at that time, there was a need that we should have a madrasa, a proper madrasa, and we should have a building that should be made. A building that should be made. And so in 1874, again, Mashwara was done that we should have an extension and we should build a proper building that would mark this Darul Ulum. And so at that time, Maulana Shah Rafiuddin Saab was the Muhtamim of Darul Ulum Deoband. Maulana Shah Rafiuddin Saab was the Muhtamim of Darul Ulum Deoband. And so what he did is that he sat with the scholars and he made a marking that tomorrow, this is where we will dig the foundation. This is where we will dig the foundation. And then in the night when he went to sleep, Maulana Shah Rafiuddin Sahab saw a dream. In his dream, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Shah Rafiuddin that your marking is too close to the forecourt. What is it? Towards the forecourt. And this will reduce the space for the madrasa. So Hazrat Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his dream, Allah's Nabi had an asa. Allah's Nabi had an asa. This asa. And he said to Shah Rafiuddin, come with me, I will show you the markings and make sure the foundations are dug in this line which I am telling you. So Hazrat Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had shown Shah Rafiuddin Sahab the location, which was many yards at the back. Many yards at the back. And so Hazrat Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam marked it and he said, this is where the foundation should be. And this was the dream. And when he woke up in the morning, Shah Rafiuddin Sahab was very excited. Subhanallah. Very, very excited. These were, you know, incredible people. These were people who had a connection with Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, here we are, you know, we have a habit of making everybody kafir. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Now you meet people, say, Maulana Thanvi. Astaghfirullah. He did gustakhi of Rasulullah. Are, but you yourself are a chore. What are you? You yourself are a chore. You can't even issue a fatwa if it was not for the scholars of Darul Deoband, the works they have done. And if we actually talk about the works they have done in tafsir and hadith, we would need many other sessions. This is the works of these grandstand scholars. And the next morning, Maulana Sharafiuddin Saab goes with the ulama and they actually see that the marking is there. Hazrat, without mashwara, the builders that came and he was there and he said, exactly this is where you do the foundation. And subhanallah, for the first time now, this Darul Uloom had buildings. What is it? Walls were made. And Darul Uloom, Deoband, is the first madrasa in Hind that had a name specialized in the field of hadith, and it was called Darul Hadith. What was it called? Darul Faculty of Hadith only. It was the first madrasa. And these were great, great, great scholars. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And so, on one side, it was the dream of Maulana Qasim Nanotwi. On one side, you had Maulana Shah Rafiuddin Sahab, who Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed him the markings. And this madrasa of Darul Uloom Deoband is known as Ummul Madrasa, the mother of all the madrasas. The mother of all the madrasas. Now, just to give you some understanding, the barakat of this one madrasa and how it spread so quickly. Even now, with the partition in Hind, with Pakistan on one side and Bangladesh on another side, let's not talk about Hind for a moment. If you look in Pakistan, there are now 16,000 madaris there. How many? 16,000 madaris. In one day, 2 million students are benefiting from the science of hadith. How many? 2 million. And when the partition took place, just take Karachi for an example. Maulana Yusuf bin Nori connected to Darul Uloom Deoband. Mufti Azam of Pakistan, Mufti Shafi, whose two sons are the most internationally known scholars of the world. Mufti Rafi and Mufti Taqi. All the banks that were functioning in any part of the world, they would not open until, if they wanted a halal concept, that they had taken some fatwa from Mufti Taqi Sahab. Mufti Taqi and Mufti Rafi are the two sons of Mufti Shafi. Mufti Shafi was the Mufti of Darul Uloom Deoband and he was the hadith lecturer there. And so now you see even in Karachi, subhanallah, Mufti Taqi has got his own Darul Uloom, Marana in Binnori town. And then Jamia Farukiya, just recently, a giant amongst the ulama, Marana Salimullah Khan Sahab, who passed away. What a great scholar he was. Allahu Akbar. Great, great scholar. Again, all connected to Darul Uloom Deoband. If you go to Lahore, Jamia Ashrafiya, these are all top universities. If you go to Multan, Khairul Madaris. If you go to Akora Katak, you've got Jamia Haqqaniya, Darul Uloom that are there. And just in Pakistan, and you cross the border and you go to Afghanistan and you will see how many madaris and how many Darul Ulooms that are there. Just to make sure that alhamdulillah our iman is protected. The children's iman is protected. By this one madrasa, just in the zone of Pakistan, thousands of madaris are in function. Thousands. And in fact, the pioneers were ulama-e Deoband, and the rest look upon them. The rest look upon them and do whatever they need to do. If you go to India, thousands of madaris now. Thousands. The British Empire could not do anything. Wherever Maulana Qasim Nanotwi was opening madrasa everywhere. In Bangladesh, thousands of madrasas are there. Thousands of madrasas. And that is in the subcontinent. That is in the subcontinent. It does not end there. Let's come to UK. The United Kingdom. What is it? The United Kingdom. And it is called the Great Britain. In this Great Britain, the very first Islamic university, Darul Uloom, who opened it? Who had the fikr? In the 1960s, when the Muslims were coming and they were here finding jobs, they could not even find halal food to eat, and they had no place to read Salatul Jumu'ah. Things were so difficult. It was, the winters were so cold at that time. Again, everything goes back to the mother of the madaris, Dalum Deoband. Subhanallah. That connection from Saharanpur, Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayhi's Majaz, Maulana Yusuf Mutala, Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayhi, he sees a dream, and Hazrat says that I have seen a dream, and he put a marking, like how one would draw a map, that Yusuf, in this zone, there is going to be one madrasa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from there will open up the doors. And subhanallah, when they were looking for this Darul Uloom in those days, it was on top of a mountain, like a hill. Even now, you know, if you don't have a good car during the winter days, it's very hard to get on top of Holcomb Hall, you know, to Holcomb. And if you go on top, the car, I remember, it actually comes down. So a lot of the students, they were learning how to drive a car. And so the instructor would say, no, no, let me take it on the main road. Let me take it on the main road. And so when this Darul Uloom was opened up in no man's land, where there was only non-Muslims, and they would look that what are Muslims doing here? And subhanallah. And I remember when I was studying in the 80s also, the room that was given to us at that time, finance was a problem. There was mushroom and things that were growing from the carpet. That is how damp it was. And there was only a few shower rooms, and on a Friday it was jihad. You'd have to wake up 4 o'clock in the morning to get hot water and do ghusl. And so students would wake up at 3 just to do ghusl. But subhanallah, what a beautiful time. What Nuraniyat was there. And this Darul Uloom is the first Darul Uloom that opened up not in UK, but the whole of Europe. The whole of. After that, Darul Uloom opened up. Just to give you an example, alhamdulillah, you see, people want to live in Leicester. People want to live in Leicester. What's so good about Leicester? What's so good about Leicester? Wallahu alam. But let me tell you one thing. If you have a look in Leicester, everyone is connected directly, indirectly to Dalum Deoband. So for an example, if you look at Hazrat Maulana Adam Sahab, a graduate of Dalum Deoband. The person who leads namaz here, Maulana Dawood Sahab, a graduate of Dalum Deoband. Maulana Salim Dorat Sahab is Farig from Dalum Bari, Maulana Yusuf Mutala's. Again, that madrasa is connected to Madahirul Uloom. Madahirul Uloom is connected to Dalum Deoband. If you have a look, any madrasa, I myself, Maulana Yusuf Mutala, Dalum Bari. If you have a look at Maulana Imran Sahab of Jamia Masjid, Dalum Bari. If you have a look at Maulana Ashraf Sahab, who is running this Madani school here, Dalum Bari. If you go to Masjid Ali, Maulana Imjaz Sahab and the team there, Dalum Bari. Not Deoband, bhai. Yeah, they're too young to be there right now. Umar Farooq, yeah. It's okay. But Umar Farooq, without you, you know, there would be no mazah. But put it this way, from Dalum Bari. Everything from Markaz also, all of the other madrasas that came, they came later on. Look at Blackburn, Darlum's there. Look at Preston. Look at the city of London. Subhanallah. Look up north. And Dalum Deoband are the first people that opened up madaris only for ladies. There was no other vision, no other people had. Only now when people had seen that by these people are doing this, then they had to duplicate and they are doing whatever they are doing. But if you have a look and if you go to Lancaster and if you go to Bradford, not only did they do khidmat for our youth, that Darloom will save their iman, but they even were concerned for the ladies and for the girls. And this is in UK. This is in UK. This is in UK. And thereafter, subhanallah, go to South Africa. Go to South Africa. Go to Zimbabwe. Go to Zambia, Lusaka. Go to the southern zone of Africa. Go in any direction, you will see the people of that nisbat that is there. Go to America, go to Chicago. Dr. Saab's sons, Maulana Ibrahim Maimon Saab, opened up in Buffalo. In Canada, there are Darul Ulooms and Madaris that are there. You go in any direction of the world and the barakat of Darul Ulum, Deoband is there. Who has not come to Darul Ulum, Deoband? From the A'imma of Haram Sharif, Sheikh Shuraim was there, subhanallah, recently. Sheikh Sudais, everyone. And when they read and the khidmat of hadith, what people have done, they put their fingers in their mouth. That these are the work. Despite the fact that they were the followers of the madhab of Hanafiya, they wrote books as tafsir for the mazhab of Imam Malik. This was the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them. In any direction you go, you will see this. And so our forefathers, Ma Qasim Nanotwi, Maulana Rashid Gangawi, Maulana Haji Imdadullah, and the Muslim Ummah has strived very, very hard. And alhamdulillah, we have had this network of madaris. And the way to save our iman and the iman of our children is to strengthen our madrasa. What is it? You will find some people, I have heard, they say, oh, you know what? Everywhere there's madrasa, here madrasa, here madrasa. Chup. Don't say a word. Don't say a word. This is the rahmat of Allah. What is it? The rahmat of Allah that madaris have been opened up everywhere. In fact, in the city of Makkah, in the 1880s, Maulana Kiranvi, who was a friend to Maulana Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki, he opened up Madrasa Solatiya, Dalum Deuban's Nisbat. And this is where now Darut Tawheed is, it was there, and then now when the extension took place, Saudi Arabia, the government had given another place, this Madrasa is still running. This Madrasa is still running. From the Ottoman Empire, this madrasa is still running. Even in Medina Sharif, madaris were there. So Allahu Akbar, our ulama, the khidmat they have done in every field is phenomenal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, my respected brothers, that we understand our history and we should not be people who should shy away from the Qurbani, what our scholars have done, subhanAllah. Just recently, Sheikh Yunus, the Muhaddis, who passed away. Just one incident about him, inshallah, and then we will conclude. In the first year, he was given Abu Dawood Sharif to teach in Madahirul Ulum by Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria. Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria, rahmatullah alayhi, was teaching Bukhari Sharif on a Friday, Jumu'ah. And so an intense lesson was given to them. And so Maulana Sheikh Yunus said to the class that after Juma, come back and I'm going to teach you Abu Dawood Sharif. These are the last year kitabs. So as the Sheikh Zakaria was in his dastarkhan after Jumu'ah sitting, and so he called some of the students. So he says, where is Yusuf? Sheikh Yusuf Mutala, call him. So they said, Hazrat, he is in class because of Abu Dawood Sharif. He is in class because of? So he says, who's teaching now? So he goes, Sheikh Yunus is teaching Abu Dawood Sharif. So Maulana wrote a letter to Sheikh Yunus that don't you fear Allah that I have given them an intense course in the morning Jumu'ah that now you are going to make them tired in the afternoon by giving them a dars of Abu Dawood? So this letter was read by Sheikh Yunus, subhanAllah. And Sheikh Yunus, all he said was one line. Hazrat, please forgive me. Mujhe muaf farmade. This will never happen again. This will never happen again. Letter was given. Hazrat Sheikh, when he read this, Hazrat Sheikh was so touched that Hazrat Sheikh gave him a dua and said to him that I have been teaching Bukhari Sharif for 41 years. How many years? 41 years. And I have been teaching the last year Daura Kitabs, the last year Kitabs, for 47 years. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you a long life. May Allah give you a long life. And then he said that Yunus, when you reach 47 years of teaching Bukhari Sharif, you will have advanced me. This was his humility, tawazu. As the Sheikh said, you will advance me. And imagine death could have come to him. But Hazrat Sheikh Yunus died at the age of 79. And he taught Bukhari for more than 50 years. And this was in a letter that he opened up after 40 years. When it was told that this is the time you open up this letter. And he said that this is what Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi had said. That when you have taught the hadith for 47 years, you will have advanced me also. These were our great akabirin. His entire life he did not marry. He would say, I got married to my kitab and my hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Let us respect all our akabirin. All of our ulama. Everyone in this dunya has the love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, all of us are Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaat. What are we? We are Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaat. And everybody has the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should not poison our minds and have this understanding of people. Unless, of course, you see something wrong that is evident and in front of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. دعاك الله اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.